and a seventh grader in middle school. So if you've got kids in middle school, you know right where we are right now. It's it's very, very interesting. And Dolores so kindly invited me to come talk about how we, in our experiences, have tried to teach our children how to give, save, and spend wisely. Marginally successful. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, jury's still out, but we'll tell you our experience and what we've learned along the way. We've been teaching Financial Peace University here for over 15 years, I think is what we kind of counted up. So it's been a stretch. It started as a kingdom assignment. For those of you who may or may not remember, the missions committee had a $10,000 dream and offered us, about 100 of us, to come up into the choir loft and gave us all $100 and said, go grow God's kingdom with this $100. And I thought, ooh, good gravy. What am I going to do with this? And so I wrote a letter to friends and family, and we were able to raise some money and start Financial Peace University. And the first few classes were all scholarshiped in, no cost to them. And what we asked was that they just write a check to pay for the next class and pay for the next class. So it was really cool, worked really well. And we've kind of established the program here. We've had lots of help from the Raiders and the Barshes, and a host of other folks have kind of stepped in and helped along the way. But it's been wildly successful, and here's my little plug. We're starting again in February. So if you want to learn more about a life-changing program, come on February 3rd. We have a little orientation session, and it used to be 13 grueling weeks. And they've slimmed it down to 9. So we're starting on February 10th and running 9 weeks, and they'll be done by Easter. So it's awesome and amazing. And if you haven't taken it, no matter where you are financially, I highly recommend it. And Kelly Barsh, walking testimony. It's awesome. She'll pin you down and hammer you until you really say yes. All right, but so that's kind of where we gathered our background and our teaching for this. And the first thing I think we want to teach them is how to save. And you can start when they're super little. I mean, 2-3 years old, right? Because they're getting birthday money. Tooth Fairy apparently pays pretty well these days and stuff like that. And so what we did is we got one of those big, giant plastic jars, right? And cut it. And you want to make sure it's plastic because they'll get out and play with it and drop it and stuff like that. So make sure it's plastic. And cut a hole in it and have them actually... don't put it in there for them, but you have them do the physical action of putting the money into the jar, and you kind of crumple it up so it grows even faster. If you put it in there flat, it takes forever, and you're going to grow broke. So crumple up the money, and it takes up more space, and they see the physical manifestation of the saving happening. And then when they want a toy or something like that, you help them, you know, count out the money, and you take them to the store, and they pay for it with their money that they've saved, and their little chests pop up, and they're so proud, and that is, we found that that worked extremely well when they were little. That was great. We also started a bunch of reading bedtime stories with them, and you had the regular bedtime stories, and then every once in a while, we'd sneak in one of the Dave Ramsey little books that look like a cool bedtime story, and they're illustrated, and all kinds of colors and pictures, and they're not really realizing that we're totally manipulating them here to learn how to save. But it is. It's just messaging, and that's what we did. And Dave Ramsey, for all the wonderful things that he does, he really does have a passion for teaching the next generation. It'd be nice if he gave the books away. That would be super helpful. but he does it. But that's okay. We made that kind of investment, and there was one that particular one, it was talking about being careless with your money, all right? And so the story is that Junior and his little friends all save up their money, right? And they're all going to go to the carnival. And so their parents, letting these 7 or 8-year-olds go to the carnival by themselves. Yes. So imagine taking your kids to the Houston Rodeo Carnival, saying, here's 3 envelopes full of cash. One of them is for rides, one of them is for food, all the fried stuff you want, and one of them is for games. But you've budgeted it all out, go have fun. It's a sweet little story. Of course the kids don't pay attention to the envelopes. Of course they try to spend all their money on the games, right? Try to win the big stuffed Dalmatian that they want. And then they get to the end of the day and they're hungry and they haven't gotten to ride any of the rides that they wanted to. So there's some sadness to the book. And the kids really felt that. They're like, oh my gosh, that book sucks. Why are you reading that? I want a happy ending. But it's a teachable moment there. It gives you a chance to have a conversation, parent to child, of choices that we make. And how there's finite resources. And it also dovetails in well with the whole give, save, and spend theory that we've learned. And so we would take every week, you know, you earn $5 this week for doing your chores, keeping your room clean. And when they're little, it's you helping them put their toys away. And, oh, you did a good job cleaning your room. Here's your, and you pay in ones because you want to break it up and give them envelopes of give, save, and spend, right? And $1 goes into the giving envelope, and $2 goes into the saving envelope, and $2 went into the spending envelope. And that seemed to work well. Every week, most of the time, and we'll get to that in a minute, the giving envelope would make its way to South Main Baptist Church, and that was how we started to introduce giving to them. They would use the saving envelope to save for bigger purchases, and the spending envelope, anytime you go to the grocery store, get whatever you want. You've got $4, go. And if it's a cheap piece of plastic toy and that's what you want, and that's, go get it. No, and that's very tough for Jennifer and I, as you can imagine, because we wanted to, no, that's crap, don't buy that. But we needed them to learn the lesson of buying cheap things means heartbreak and loss. But it really reinforced the lesson that money was theirs, and gave them ownership of it, and the spending and the consequences thereof. How do we handle allowances? When they were little, it was helping them with chores. And we've never said, here's your allowance. It's always work for chores, right? Because we'd never wanted them to realize that money did not come from work. That was very important to us. And there just happened to be a Dave Ramsey book about it, right? And we would read that. And it's all about the main character, Junior, wants a bicycle. And it's $89. And he's asking his parents, and asking, you know, can I get it? And they're like, you don't have the money in your envelope. You should get a job. You should do extra chores. So when our kids would read that, and they would want something a little bigger, hey, can I do extra chores? And that instilled in them a work ethic, that they realize that money just doesn't drop out of the sky, that it actually takes work for them. And as they've grown, I guess, more capable of doing more chores, we've increased the amount that we pay them every week. And that's been fun to see. We have chores that we do just because we're members of the family, and then they have chores that they do to earn money. The money chores are dishes, right? All the family dishes. So Jennifer and I cook, and then the kids do the dishes. So they take turns during the weeks. Ty does dishes 1 week, and then Lily will do cat litter and vacuum the floors, right? And there's much wailing and gnashing of teeth over who has the hardest chore, because Lily thinks whatever chore she doesn't have is the easy chore. So if she's doing cat litter and vacuuming, then dishes are so easy, Ty, forever. And Ty, we have found, has a true gift for washing dishes. It is amazing. He gets in there and will scrub and complain that somebody didn't clean the plate enough, and really takes ownership of it. And that's been wonderful to see. Lily, we're afraid we're all going to get sick because we don't get the dishes washed quite well. We have to come back around a little bit and do some scrubbing. But they, we think, are seeing the value of work, get paid, work, get paid. And Ty's even gotten to the point now where he doesn't want to deal with cash. He's like, that's too hard. So we've opened him up a checking account. And now every week, his $20 chore money gets automatically debited from our account into his account, which is super convenient. We don't lose money anymore. He checks his balance. I mean, but it takes walking them step by step through those touchstones, right? And through those milestones. I would never give, you know, 5-year-old Ty a bank account. I would not give him access to a debit card or anything else. But as he's grown older and more mature, we found, okay, that's fine. And so we set up his account where we get alerts anytime he spends money. And we told him, hey, if you're hungry on a debate tournament and you did not take time to make yourself a meal with all this food that we have in the fridge, that's on you. So you're going to pay for convenience. So he'll go and get a snack or whatever. And he realizes that's a choice that he's making. And so that's been incredibly enlightening, I think, for him. He doesn't allow his balance to get too low because he's very conservative with his money. So he'll be in there making peanut butter and salad sandwiches the night before just to save $6 for 2 pieces of pizza slice. And he gets so mad that they overcharge for a piece of pizza. It's like $3 for a piece of pizza. That's ridiculous. It's nuts, right? So as they got into middle school, it became the fight over clothes, right? And we learned this from the Raiders. We gave them a clothes budget. You have $60 a month. You are in charge of buying your own clothes. We will take you shopping, but what you buy is your choice, and it's on you. If it doesn't fit, if it tears away, if you buy a bunch of crap, that's on you. But if you blow all $60 on a cool pair of sneakers and you don't have anything to wear, that's on you. And middle school kids are very cruel about what the kids wore and stuff like that. So you really are testing the waters here on how they navigate that. And we do everything we can to teach them where to shop. They love H&M. They love the places where you can get 62 t-shirts for $10 and stuff like that. We take them to thrift stores, and they love that. They're like, this is awesome. These shirts are $1. And we'll buy, and the good thing is, when they were in middle school at Lanier, it was all uniforms. So we would provide their uniforms, right, and say, okay, there was the rest of their clothes. Now Ty's not at Lanier. He's in high school, and he has a dress code, mm-hmm. and he has to wear slacks and a collared shirt and dress shoes. So his spending has gotten a little interesting, and as he's grown, he's realizing maybe I ought to buy longer pants and get them hemmed and then let them out. He's not yet. He hasn't quite learned that yet, because all his pants are like this. And apparently, no, that's the style, Dad. And I'm like, I don't know. He's bringing me GQ magazine articles. No, look, that's the style. I'm like, no, you're just being a cheapskate because you don't want. It's funny. So Ty and I wear the same shoe size, and he's figured out, maybe I can con Dad into going halvesies on some cool athletic shoes with me. And I'm like, all right, that's because I never spend $120 on a pair of tennis shoes. But now I'm thinking, I'm only spending $60, and he's going to grow out of them, and I'm going to have them. So now I'm leveraging the $60 that I'm giving him anyway. But that's been, so it's been incredible kind of journey to watch them from the 2 to 3 year old age where we started introducing these concepts with the saving and the spending. Those were the two easy ones.
One of my all-time favorite conversations.
Where we've had our struggles is in giving, right? And I'll tell you a story. I was probably 9 years old, and my brother was 5. And we would visit my grandparents in Temple, Texas, 3 or 4 times a year. And that always meant compulsory, mandatory church attendance, which we were fine with, didn't matter. We didn't grow up churched. And so that was always, all right, we'll go to church. Well, they went to the Northside Church of Christ there in Temple, Texas. And so one weekend, it must have been a holiday weekend because all the family was there. All the cousins, aunts, uncles, my grandparents, and everybody's there. And we're all just packed in like sardines in the pew. And you may not know this about the Church of Christ, but they don't play instruments, right? That's not their jam. So during the offertory, it is silence. You can hear people passing the plate. And we're sitting there, and I'm sitting next to my grandmother because I was her favorite. Well, that's true. And she reaches into her little old lady coin purse and pulls out a dollar, and she goes, "Marky boy, put this in the plate when it gets passed." Not because I'm nine and I hadn't seen this three or four times a year, but I'm like, all right, I don't know how this works. And I'm good, and I'm her favorite, so I want to please her. And I'm saying, all right, this dollar's going in the plate. Money gets shoved down. All the cousins have some money. My idiot kid brother is down the way. Pass the plate, dead silence, dollar goes in, down there, contemplating life, my existence, everything at nine. And I hear some commotion down the pew. He's like, no, here. A kerfuffle. Almost a full-on wrestling match. And I look down, and my dad is shaking my brother's hand like this, trying to get him to drop the money into the plate. And kerfuffle ends, plate gets passed, and my brother stands up dead quiet. "Well, there goes all my money!" Oh, it was outstanding. So this is my thought of how children think about giving in church. So we said, all right, we're going to do this differently. We're going to teach our children. We are leaders of this Financial Peace University. We should be shining stars. Our children should just be model givers. We've gone to the spiritual gifts class. We're both givers. This is going to be easy. 5-year-old Ty had different thoughts. So we had, again, implemented the give, save, spend, and the give envelope. Kept, you know, we're like, hey, you've got 2 or 3 weeks worth of giving in here. It's time to give. I don't think the church should get my money. Well, what do you mean, Ty? Well, the church has plenty of money. There's lots of stuff, and I just don't think God doesn't need my money. Well, you're right. God doesn't need your money. We got an answer for that. We're ready for it.
Ready.
It's not, he wants to turn you into a giver and things like that. Well, you're adorable. Okay, sorry. So it's coming. And so we really, really tried to teach him that this is a good thing. God is trying to shape you and mold you, and this is how he teaches us spiritual discipline, by teaching us to give sacrificially. He's like, whatever, Dad, I'm not doing it. You could force me to, but it's not going to be pleasant. So Jennifer and I are holed up in our bedroom, just almost in tears, going, this can't be our child. This he's so good 98% of the time, but on this, he was putting his foot down. And so we said, who does he like and respect in the church? Miss Dolores. So we had a conversation. We said, Miss Dolores, our child is the Grinch when it comes to giving here, son. Can you? And she said, I got it. So Miss Dolores takes 5-year-old Ty everywhere around the church and shows him the wonderful things that we all give part of our money to help pay for. And here's the children's space that's beautiful and amazing. And look at the playground is here. And you like playing on the playground? Yeah, I like playing on the playground. And all of our money, we all put our money in. It doesn't matter how much you put in. Couple of dollars, or you're writing big checks, it does not matter. You're helping pay for that. And she's taking him into the sanctuary up at the top, and this is a beautiful building, and we have to pay to maintain it. And you like Pastor Steve, and you want Ben and Josh to go to college, we have to pay Pastor Steve. All these things, all these reasons. Nothing!
Nothing! Disagree to disagree.
Just stone cold stuff. He's 5 at the point.
He's a debater.
I'm proud to say now that Ty Gribble is one of the auto draft givers to the church. He we finally convinced him, and he's like, all right, you know, as he got older, and it just takes time. And as much as you will it, it may not happen on your timetable. And we were super proud, and he said, ah, these, trying to keep up with these dollars is fussy. I'm just going to go with auto draft. And I said, Steve Wells is going to have a sermon example about you at some point. You realize where you've come here, the 5-year-old curmudgeon, to shining example of how to auto draft. So that is.
Can I ask you a question about that?
Because by all means.
I have a child who refused to do the pledge card uh-huh. last year, who said, no, I'm not doing that. Mm. And who usually comes home with her tithe. What did you do with the money that was in his gift?
So, we okay. Now with Lily, my sweet, sweet Lily, the money sometimes makes it into the envelope because they have their own separate envelopes with their names on them, like not the kids' envelopes. These are bona fide, hey, these are professional envelopes. So the money goes in the envelope, and then it goes into her bag. I don't know what happens to it. And then we clean out the bag once a month, and there's the 4 envelopes, and they're like, ah. So she's just forgetful. So you remember how we used to have catch up, double up Sunday. We've had several catch up, octuple up Sundays with her where we're shoving $23 into an envelope and kind of keeping a better eye on it at that point. So at that point, you have a little parental support step in. And daddy will take care of your envelope today. And when the offering comes around, I will hand you your envelope. Are you sure I can put it in my bag? No, don't put it in your bag ever because that nothing comes out of the bag. But yeah, we've had to have catch up October.
So also, we're trying to help them more. And so last year we started, and this year I think we're going to do even a better job, is instead of talking about pledging, we talk about making promises to God. And so it's much less about the money, uh-huh. the pledge card, and more about God makes you all of these promises, and God is faithful and always keeps all of his promises. And one thing we need to do is make a promise to God. And so whether it's 10 cents or a penny or a dollar, it doesn't matter because God doesn't need our money anyway, but he does need us to be faithful. And so we try to use that kind of language. Then if they will, and maybe they won't, and it's nothing in the world.
It's not.
But if they will do a promise card, then we mail them cool letters.
And one of our children has been getting
them. Yes.
Exactly.
We're in it for the long haul.
Lauren, hear me. It will happen.
Okay.
It will happen. It just might not be on the timetable. That
it could be 30, but it might be 12, or it might be.
Well, and there's a positive thing here, too. Is what you're really saying is they see the value of money.
Yeah.
It's a lesson in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Because they're like, this is actually a precious commodity. There's not enough of it. These are valuable lessons because when they just see it flow through their hands, it doesn't pick on value. I think that's a positive step that then later they realize, I need to prioritize God in my life and I need to be able to let go.
We're not worried about Lily.
Yeah. I'm not worried about it. I'm just like practically speaking. Giving her tips on how to handle it in the moment.
And just sometimes. Later, to be reminded, hey, you have a pledge that's not been fulfilled. You may want to make that up anytime soon.
Yeah. Well, and the key phrase we used is, what is your plan to...
Yes.
To catch up on your pledge or promise. I love the promise language. That's it's a little softer.
And just a little caveat, if I may. I think when I hear you say that, Lauren, the other part to me is like, isn't that what we want for them to do in all things in church? Like, mm-hmm. we don't want them to do things because we tell them to or because we make them. We want them to decide on their own that it's a good idea. I mean, and I think that leads to salvation. We want them to choose God because they are making that decision, not because it's what everybody else at church does. So
when they're choosing not to, one day they're going to choose.
Right.
It's a choice.
And by the way, Miss Millie, thank you so much for all the pennies.
Giving my kids all the way.
Ty Gribble got a penny every week.
He probably faked putting it in the plate, put it right. No, a pocket would be too easy to put in a
money
sock.
Out of the plate, that's actually, you know.
But that is how the Gribbles have attempted to teach our children how to give, save, and spend wisely. And we'll see how it works there.
What other questions do y'all have?
Yeah, what questions do you have?
I have a question about allowance. All right. How did you decide, like, what is their responsibility to buy and what is your, like, you gave them a clothes budget. And, you know, my kids are 9 right now.
Yeah.
So should they be buying every toy that they want for
no,
themselves?
No, you might, the special toys and things like that, but we, you know, they're going to get a crap load of toys for birthday mm-hmm. and Christmas.
Yeah.
And anytime the grandparents come in, apparently it was the toy time. And I'm like, ugh, drove us nuts. One of the things that we also kind of in the giving stage was when new toys came in, let's pick some toys that we don't play with so much and give those to kids who don't have any. And so that kind of worked on the cycle of stuff. Same thing for clothes. Clothes that, these clothes don't fit. Well, let's, you know, there are people out there that can use these clothes. We love that and teaching them that things are cyclical. So, yeah, I wouldn't do all their toys, give them, here's your toy budget. I would just say if you there's a special toy that is not within your purview for birthday or anything else like that,
yeah.
Do that.
See, I think, too, that, like, it's all, you need to think age appropriate for all of it, right? So, like, when are they old enough? Because, Mark's right, like, the clothes. So if they spend it, they don't get any more clothes. So mm-hmm. you certainly wouldn't want to start that until you thought they were in point.
Right.
But earlier, like toys, those aren't mandatory things, right? So they get a toy or they don't get a toy or they buy a plastic piece of crap and it's gone, then like it doesn't matter. But it's kind of like thinking along the lines, at what point does it no longer matter if they mess this up or the consequences are appropriate for that age?
And at that age, it was, oh, can I get this? Did you bring your money?
Right.
No. Then you can't get this. Tears. You look like a bad parent, but really you're teaching them to be prepared.
Mark, what do you think about loaning them money when they forgot their money or they don't have enough money for their allowance or all of those things?
In general, we're against that. However, there are times where, out of convenience, we did not want to make another trip to where, you know, we might be 30, 40 miles away. And I'm like, oh, God, no. I'm not. It would be a lovely teachable moment. But that's, I'm not willing to put in 3 hours to drive all the way home and drive all the way back and then drive all the way back. So it's, again, what works for you. But when it's, you know, just at your regular grocery store, just in a place you're at, make them wait. A little deferred gratification is not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
So do you guys do any budget stuff? Like, you talked about the three categories, get saved, spend. Budget stuff.
We have not done anything besides clothes just yet. And at some point, we, as they get older, Ty will probably have more responsibility than she does.
Well, the way one of the things that's kind of cool about it as you expand out of the category and start adding things like clothes is you can have things that are fungible,
mm-hmm.
finance person, which means you can use that money across categories
right.
and then have certain things, like we give money. I hate writing checks to schools and school activities. So let's say you're 14 and can have a checkbook and a checking account. We said you are responsible for writing all school checks. We will put money into your account that is for that. So we put, I don't know, ungodly amounts of money because all these funds. But they can't spend it on anything else. Like, so they had to learn how to manage multiple columns in a spreadsheet against a thing. But between their clothes budget and their allowance and maybe one other thing, like entertainment, I think we had an entertainment allocation they could have.
Yeah.
If they decided they wanted some of their entertainment money to go to clothes or to cell phone, they could do that.
Just like real life.
They had to pay for all their own
right.
stuff, and that was all fungible, but they had to within this. So clothes at first could be you have to spend on clothes, and then eventually you can
make choices.
So that's a nice way to pull in the thing, because you do want them to start to think ahead.
Yes.
About, I got this money, and now what do I do?
Now what do I do?
That's what we all struggle
do
with.
Do you pay them about the same and have the same amount of chores? You mentioned that they have the same.
Ty gets an extra, it's 20 for him and 15 for Lily, but he has an extra chore. He has to vacuum out the truck and the car every week because he eats. Yeah, it's a chore we hate doing.
Yes, y'all, this is it, right? Like, make the picnic work. Make your life easier.
Yes.
We need to, like, list everybody's chores and what everybody does.
Yeah, do you have a list and, like, values next to each
one? No, it's a set value. You earn $15 for either your, yeah.
Was that Roxy?
Yeah.
She left that handout. Did you save any of those? But she had some really good tips in that one about, like, the contracts.
Yeah.
Because it was stuff about money and the contracts. We hacked all of her. But it worked for, like, the 2 weeks that we could remember.
That's
for free, and because you also mentioned
yeah.
they clean the rooms. Yeah, money. They've got to clean the room. They have to tidy up their bathroom, stuff like that. But the money chores are the cat litter, vacuuming the floors,
the
dishes, and then
yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You have kids that
cat clean.
They don't get money.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this lady who came like a month ago or whatever, we were like.
If you're ever worried about what your kids can and can't do, remember that, like, Eskimo children at age two take 2-foot-long razor-sharp knives and take whale fat.
They can do
we're
it.
We're just too easy on our kids.
Yeah, that's true.
Although,
and remember, like, we've talked about this before, but the hugest aha I ever had was when Anna was in fifth grade, realizing, like, everything I should be doing is preparing her to leave. And if I wait until she leaves to see if she can manage her own money and make a budget and clean her toilet and cook a dinner and buy her own clothes, like, that's way too late.
Yeah.
So, like, if I want her to fail at that at home while it's safe and succeed at that while she's gone, she's doing these things when she's 16 and some things when she's 13 and some things when she's 3.
Yeah. You had a question.
I was going to say that Jonah, when we introduced him to the concept of tithe, he was like, what? You earn $10, so you need to give $1 to the church. What? And then, but I explained to him, when we make money, what do you think we're doing? So I tried to use the example of, you know, us being an example. We,
Mommy
don't
Dad,
you think
doing
we
this.
Give a portion of our money to the church? And then for dining out and groceries, I use the cash envelope system. So
good.
It's really good for dining out for him. And he's, because he's like, wants to go get a soda or something. I'm like, I only have this much money left
right.
for the next. You know, next 2 weeks. And so it's really good to show him, this is all I have left.
The physical money, the cash is so powerful.
And I'll do allowances.
We're so bad about forgetting. We forget to do
so I told you my hack. Like, the thing that's going to make it work is the hack to go to the bank and get all the cash for 6 months or 3 months or whatever you need. I'm not kidding. Not kidding. Like, you know what the allowance is.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out how much cash you need, whether it's 3 months or 6 months. Like, I don't like to go to the bank, so it's like 6 months for us.
Dolores is bringing a big sack of money.
Like, I want it all in dimes, or I want it all, because that was the key. Like, it doesn't work if you can't be consistent in shelling it out.
Yeah.
And so, like, whatever that is, go to the bank.
And kids thrive on consistency.
Just make sure you don't ask like Lauren did. They thought she wanted singles for the strip club.
The bank teller told me, I was like, you want $1 bills for what?
Teaching my kid about money.
I will say, Dolores, yes, I had to modify your Raider hack on the lunches. I hate lunches. I hate making lunches. And I finally was like, and my kids are picky anyway, so I had started making them buy their lunch every day. I don't care if you like it. You either eat or you starve, but I put money in the account, and you're eating what they serve. Like, I'm not dealing with it. And it's been great. But then I was feeling guilty because we have not, as Dave Ramsey as I am, we have not implemented any sort of commission work. I haven't been able to get up with the program of doing it. So
oh, they can sweep those floors.
I made my kids a deal this week, and last night, for the first time, I sent Dolores a picture. I told my kids, if you make your own lunch and had to have criteria, there had to be a fruit, a vegetable, and something to eat, you know, whatever, like a sandwich or something. And I said, if you make a lunch that is appropriate, I will give you, because it costs $2.25 a day for lunch, I'll give you $1, and I will put the other $1.25 in long-term savings, and we will match that $1.25 towards your future car.
Woo!
So, I told them that you can start right now, 9 and 5, or 9 and 6, however old Devin is. And so Eileen was like, they went 2 days, and they're like, not worth it, not making my lunch. And last night, Eileen was like, Mom, I'm going to make my lunch because I want money. And Evan was like, I really want money for his video games.
I don't spend real money on fake money, but he does. And so he has to use his own money. And so last night, for the first time, Evan made, in kindergarten, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. He got out his fruit. He got out his vegetables. He got out... packed. Now, I haven't been home today yet, so I have no idea if they actually ate the lunch. Because I haven't seen them. I
doesn't matter.
I haven't been home to check the lunchbox.
He made the lunch.
He made the lunch. That's... And so today I will be auto-drafting money into their bank account to match whatever. So they got a dollar bill. But I got to make you get a bunch of dollar bills.
You do, because you got to be consistent.
Yeah.
You can find dollar bills in the house. Because Eileen was like, well, you're never going to really give me the money. You always say you will.
Right.
We were scrounging. Like, I was digging through stuff to find dollar bills, but they both got their dollar bill this morning. And I told them, when you come home from school, I'll transfer the other one. So they're going to make... they're going to make money on this deal.
They're going to have a nice cart when they're 16 that they bought all
by themselves. They have a little chart where they mark what days they want to buy or take or whatever. But
well, I just started this. I printed the menu. So I printed the Cypher menu.
Yeah.
And so Eileen actually chose, she made her lunch, but she didn't take it today. So I told her she can't have the money. She's going to buy lunch because she wanted what they had today. But tomorrow she doesn't like the lunch. So tomorrow she'll get her dollar.
But I was saying, you can mark on that calendar.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the month,
Yeah, you don't want to do that every day, Kelly.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So when they mark it on the menu,
that's a great idea.
Just mark it on the menu, put it in a drawer, and then when it comes time to buy it, just go back and move.
So let me say two things before, like, we can talk forever, but, like, I just want to underscore what Mark said and make sure you heard it. Like, one is really, it has to be consistent, and therefore it has to be easy for you. So don't come up with a system you can't implement regularly. Otherwise, they see right through you. Y'all know that. Second thing is, I want to make sure you heard what Mark said about, like, they have chores that they do because they're a member of the family, mm-hmm. and there's chores they get to do because, and both of those lessons are so important and so huge, and so I just want to make sure, like, you kind of said that, like,
slip
they
that
do,
in.
Yeah, but think about that as well.
They ask me for chores, and then I can't think of anything, or I think of something I want done, but it's
think
I'm
about,
not going to do it right, and so...
But think about what you hate doing.
Yes. I know, but then...
Outsource.
So what if I tell them to clean out the dishwasher filter? I hate doing that. And then they don't do it right. Then I have to go back and then
Ty Gribble would not have any of that.
Power
washer.
For a second, even if you want, rinse your dishes off. Because we rinse most of the room off the dishes, and there's still nasty stuff in there.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like I'm going to have to go back and be like, oh, well, you didn't do it, and then now here's how you do it.
That,
do they
that's okay.
Money?
It's correction is part of it. Yeah, I mean, none of us did our job perfectly when we, you know, started our first job. We had mentors, we had teachers.
Yeah. I mean, when I tell him to go clean the bathroom, I have a housekeeper that comes every other week and does it. Besides that, I don't do it. But if it gets too toothpastey in there, then I'm like, you go do it. And then, you know, it's not that perfect or whatever. But just some things, I'm just extra things I try to think of. Like, they empty the dishwasher and they do the cat litter. And
do they get a regular allowance in addition to that?
Well,
or is that the only way they're making money?
That is, I haven't really done the work thing. It's like you get this $3, which I haven't been consistent in this last year, and they didn't seem to care. Like, they were just... so, anyway, you get this $3, and then you do these things because you're part of the family. You're not doing it to get this $3. So, but then, like, Jenna's asked me for extra chores, and I just have a hard time coming up with things.
Think about what you need to do.
She's going to be able to do successfully with it.
I was just going to ask Mark, did you do a matching program?
We have not started that yet, long term, because we're looking at Ty and where he's wanting to go to school, and a car is not going to be feasible there.
Well, it's just say, it's interesting. We were curious if it would work, like, with small amounts of money and doing a
That's impressive.
Like themselves.
Yeah.
Without any thought. Now, some of them had to merge their savings and
get a contract.
Because
their mother wasn't going to let them buy. The safety of a $3,000 car was not in my, like, you could buy a safe $6,000 car.
Right.
So they would put their money together, buy a car, even though one of them couldn't drive yet.
There was a contract there.
Oh, wait, two of the girls put their money together.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And but the contract just ended up.
Because they each had about, well, like, Anna had the least amount because she's, you know, they all started at the same time. So Anna had like $3,000. And when Steve said,
honestly,
these are the cars she could buy, like,
didn't
no,
call
she's
loan.
Not
yeah.
driving those cars.
It was an investment that had guaranteed equity.
Yes.
So, anyway. But then they are very proud. No.
So did Anna's car go to Abby?
Abby bought.
When Anna went away to college, she had the choice of taking the car with her and then buying out her sister.
Yeah.
Or they could both sell the car, or Abby could buy out.
And the older
so those
kid
were the three.
Hit on depreciation.
Wow. The older one took a hit. So you
the older one took a hit on
if you start when the age your children are, they'll be able to buy a safe car.
Yeah.
So should we not cap it somewhere?
Do what?
Should we cap it?
You can. It just depends on you. What I'll say is, I mean, if you were going to buy them a car anyway,
yeah.
right? If you think through, what's going to happen when they turn 16 or whatever, provided the self-driving cars have come. Is if you're going to do that anyway, it is so valuable for them to feel like they're. So if you can just engineer the way
yeah.
that they get, so you can say, hey, look, there's a special part of your allowance that we're going to always put, you know, in addition to whatever you make here, I'm going to put it, so they see it growing, they can't use it for anything except a long-term car. They're learning what a long-term investment is, which is the equivalent of a 401k.
Yes.
Right, and that's what you want them to see is...
The matching.
And their income stream is not huge. You know,
no.
Like $50.
Yeah.
Matching, not like,
yeah.
oh, I got
but, to... But you very much could put a cap. Our cap was natural, right? Because
yeah.
if they put their entire allowance in, it was still not a whole lot, right? I mean, so the cap was...
Right. That's what I'm saying. Is they don't have that much money coming in, so...
And at one point, one of the older ones had to make enough money to pay the balance of the other one off in, like, 2 years before she went to college. And so she ended up putting like 3/4 of her allowance towards the thing, which really hurt mine. But that was okay.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Thank
you awesome.
For allowing me to share.